Broadcasting live from WOYK's downtown York studios, this is York's local sports show. Talking local sports on York's local sports station. Welcome to Game Day with Game Time PA on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK.
We are back. It's Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Chris Jarnold, Matt Alabone, Zach Miller, Teddy Feinberg for a jam-packed show of high school football. Guys, it's good to see you again.
The whole squad is here today. It's good to see everybody again.
We are going too deep across the board. It's great to be back talking high school sports.
I guess that feels like just yesterday that like me, Christian, we're talking about Northeastern volleyball, and now it's already football season. Went really fast.
That's right. The summer has sped by, guys, but, I mean, plenty of football to talk about week one.
Just for point of order, it was way too fast.
Yeah, that's true. Very, very fast. But week one has arrived. We can ignore week zero. No impact here on the YAIA.
Well, I don't know about that, actually.
Oh, there's Redlands.
I know they're not in the York Adams League, but big win for the Patriots.
Monumental win. And their running back, Justin Johnson, had a Herculean effort. I want to say 40-plus carries for close to 200 yards, maybe over 200.
He's a good player, and he was really good last season, but it seems like he's gotten even better, which is scary for those other mid-Penn teams.
Well, you know what happened. They got up 7-0, and they're like, all right, let's start running. He run the rock. But like Christian said, though, no YAIAA action. That starts this weekend.
Absolutely. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But to start off the show, obviously a big news story that broke over the weekend. Chance Marsteller, a highly decorated wrestler from Kennerdale High School, was arrested and charged with a number of counts regarding an incident that took place at Lock Haven University and Lock Haven Hospital.
An alleged incident.
That took place that caught a lot of people's attention. Obviously, a big story. He was released on bail, $50,000 bail, over the weekend, and he has a court date in a couple of weeks, a preliminary hearing. Just a sad story to break over the weekend involving a wrestler who really, I mean, Zach, you're a big wrestling guy. This was something that surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, he is considered by most people to be the best wrestler in the history of Pennsylvania, which is saying something.
That's saying a lot.
You know, Pennsylvania is probably the best state as far as wrestling goes in the whole country. And so obviously people had big expectations of him leaving Kennerdale. He was initially committed to Penn State, ended up decommitting for whatever reason, went to Oklahoma State, where people still had high expectations. That's another great college program. But, you know, things didn't work out for him there. I think the weight class he was in wasn't the best. Alex Dieringer is their 165-pounder over there. He won a couple of championships in a row, so Marsteller wasn't going to get to start there. He dropped weight, didn't really work for him, I think, you know, mentally and physically. Everything sounds like, you know, it just was not a good situation for him. I think we all thought when he went to Lock Haven, coming closer to home, being able to go to any way he wanted to, that this was going to be a situation where he was going to thrive and he was going to become the Marsteller we all thought, somebody who could be an All-American in college. And, I mean, to have this happen before he even wrestled one match up there, it was definitely sad, and I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of different feelings about it.
It's an alleged incident, obviously, and the process has to shake out there. It is worth noting that Lock Haven came out very quickly and said he was no longer on the team after the news came out. They wasted little to no time in those efforts. I come at it, I think, from an interesting perspective. Again, it's alleged. We have to see how things shake out. You know, the young man is obviously dealing with a lot, and that's first and foremost. This is a young man who grew up in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. He was a decorated wrestler. We don't know the backstory. We all have backstories. Some are more extreme than others. Again, definitely don't want to speculate. But he obviously had some, you know, we're talking about a wrestler who went 166-0 in high school. This kid wasn't good. This kid was sensational.
Yeah, I mean, those were almost all pins or tech falls, too. Like, we did a feature on our website. You can still find it and see how much he won every match by. I mean, 166 wins, and, like, maybe one of them came down to the wire.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling was, you know, when you go to these farming communities in PA, wrestling is a big deal in those. You want to talk about, this is not Texas. This is not Texas high school football. Wrestling is big in this area. Let's call it what it is. This kid was a machine on the wrestling mat. You know, he went to Oklahoma State. That's a very far trip. He obviously had some issues there, it's safe to say.
Pressure, too. I mean,
big
time
pressure.
You can imagine the expectations for a kid like that.
Put yourself in his shoes. Could you imagine getting on the mat when you're 165-0 in your last match? That's pressure. I mean, he had to perform. And again, we don't know the full backstory either. There is more to this, yeah. I can assure you.
I mean, Oklahoma State has won more national championships than anybody. That fan base cares a lot. I'm sure he showed up there, and I'm sure he put a lot of pressure on himself. You know, I think we all would. And I'm sure he was feeling pressure from the fans, too, that were probably expecting him to be the next great Oklahoma State wrestler.
And let's also say this, and we don't really know the story. Now, obviously, Matt, I keep interjecting here. But that's part and parcel of what I do. But. And again, this is pure speculation, but when you're 166-0 at Kennerdale, I'm going to sit here and assume that you're king of the mountain. And you, like Zach said, Oklahoma State, that we might as well call that the Alabama of college wrestling. I don't know college wrestling inside out, but that's what it sounds
that's,
like.
That's about right.
Penn State now, too, and for him to start there and then have it not work out, that adds even more of a chip on your shoulder. Now you have even more to prove that it didn't work out at this school, you're going to another powerhouse.
No question. And I just think that, you know what, like, but then they're saying, hey, you have to wrestle a different weight class. You go from high man the totem pole to very low man the totem pole in a different area. So, I mean, you know, that would be a big move for anybody. That would be a big move for me. I mean, I'm just speaking on, I think for anyone, that would be a sizable move in your life at 18 years old. That's not, he didn't move around the corner. I mean, he moved to Stillwater. Fawn Grove, he might as well move to Mars. I mean, Fawn Grove and Stillwater are night and day. I'm sure of it.
I've never been to Stillwater, so I honestly wouldn't know.
I'm just making a broad assumption.
That's one of the reasons why it's such a shame it couldn't work out at Lock Haven, because of all the places to restart your career, that's a great place. Lock Haven's a really good wrestling school.
Very good wrestling
school. But still smaller to the point that there wouldn't be the same amount of pressure. People might have forgotten about a little bit. He'd kind of start from the bottom and work his way up without the same expectations. And for that not to work out, and I'm sure that pressure got to him, but there's, you would think, some other issues that he's definitely dealing with, because there are college wrestlers who have these big expectations, who go huge high school careers, win a couple state titles, and then go far, and they're fine. Not to say that it's not still pressure, but there's other things that he's dealing with too.
Obviously, and it's such a tough case and such a tragic story. You don't want to speculate too much about what was going on behind the scenes. Obviously, it's a story that we will follow at length at GameTimePA.com, and it's something that we'll be following very closely.
And I just want to say, honestly, I think I speak for all of us. We want just nothing but the best for the young man, honestly. It's an alleged incident. There's still a lot of question marks out there. And you know, at the bottom, he's a kid. And I think that goes from all of us. You know, I hope everything's okay. And I hope if there are some problems, I hope they get rectified. That's all I want to say about it.
And we will see what happens up at Lock Haven, too. He was supposed to be part of this renaissance for that program,
right,
which had been very good back in the 90s and had been down a little bit. They have a couple other kids from right in our district, District 3, who transferred in along with Marsteller, had some pretty high expectations this year. And I mean, we're never going to know how that would have panned out.
Right. So, well, again, it's a story we'll keep an eye on. Obviously, we're following very closely at GameTimePA.com. But obviously, the other big story this week, football is back. And this is what this show is really about, is breaking down the season to come for the YAIAA. And Zach and Matt and Teddy jumping right into it. Division I. Obviously, Dallas Town coming off a divisional championship last season, but they're not the favorite this year. They're not the favorite going into it. And so it's an interesting mix. Northeastern is the team, early on at least, that everyone picks that they're going to have to beat.
Yeah, I mean, Northeastern has 15 starters back, which is the best in the division. They have a quarterback back in Shannon Valenti. There's very few teams across the whole league, all mm-hmm. divisions, that you look around. There's very few quarterbacks coming back. I mean, Valenti's been a starter for 3 years now, including his time at Central and Northeastern. So, yeah, people are definitely thinking that the Bobcats are the team to beat, especially after they went to the playoffs last year and won a playoff game. You know, they have that momentum. They have, honestly, almost all the key players back. Obviously, a handful of guys that aren't going to be. They do have a new defensive coordinator, new defensive system that they're still trying to iron out. But yeah, I mean, you know, every year we kind of come into it looking at who has the most back.
Right.
And Northeastern absolutely does.
And I think that's part of the reason why they're the favorite. Obviously, they had a lot of success last season. Early on, you would say it wasn't a fluke, that this is a very talented bunch. You mentioned Shannon Valenti. They got both their running backs back, Chris Wack, and Anu Johnson, who were big-time rushers for an offense that was very, very good on the ground. And obviously, Shannon Valenti knows how to throw the ball as well.
Yeah, I mean, that team was their defense last year. They ranked first in the league in pretty much every defensive category. Shamari Young was an all-star for game time. He's back.
Yep.
You know, I think it's either 7 or 8 starters they have back on defense. So you figure, even though they have a new system, new defensive coach, that defense should still be pretty good. And when you have a really good defense, it's easy to win a lot of games in high school football. If you can keep the other team off the board, you know, and you can capitalize on a few mistakes, you're going to be in the mix.
I mean, it's already been alluded to. They were a very good team last year. Zach brought up the defense. You bring back an experienced quarterback. Their entire backfield basically comes back intact. I think they had 3 primary ball carriers last year, if I'm not mistaken. But Johnson, Wack can really run the rock. Valenti can run and he can throw. Defensively, they bring it. They were very good last year. They won a playoff game last year. There's no reason to think that they should not be very strong again.
Probably the biggest question for them is just how do they deal with expectations and kind of having that target on their back. That's something they're maybe not as used to as a team like Dallas Town.
Right.
But I take the team that isn't used to expectations but has all the talent and the guys back over maybe a team that doesn't have the talent. So obviously big expectations for a reason.
Absolutely. The big question is, will they live up to those expectations? Again, early on, I think we all think that that's highly possible. A team that has some expectations on them, but obviously the underdog, which is maybe a bit of a surprising role for Dallas Town this year, are the Wildcats, a very inexperienced team, as their head coach liked to say a lot during our Game Time PA media day here at the York Daily Record offices. Where do you think they all fit into this? Obviously, again, not a lot of starters coming back, but Dallas Town has always been a very good football program, so it's hard to count them out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, we looked at Dallas Town last year and said, yeah, they don't have a ton of guys back. You know, there are some teams that could get Dallas Town this year, and nobody did. Dallas Town came out again, started 9-0, won the division. They've only lost 2 division games in the last 3 years. They've won division titles, or at least a share of the division title, every time. So I'm certainly not going to sleep on Dallas Town.
I think one thing they had last year that's a little bit of a question mark this year, maybe a big question mark, is quarterback. Cade Gold last year at quarterback, did he put up huge numbers? No. But he was a leader. He was the heart and soul of their team. That means an awful lot. And I'll be honest with you, without a doubt, in my mind, one of the games of the highest intrigue is Hempfield-Dallas Town this weekend. It's at Dallas Town. I talked to our friend Steve Navaroli, longtime Game Time PA reporter, and of course,
big
correspondent.
Dallas Town beat reporter.
I mean, he's all over Dallas Town, but he's doing a story for us this week, and apparently both teams are breaking in new quarterbacks, a lot on the new skill position. And the new skill position fronts across the board. And I think that's going to be a key litmus test early. I think it's going to be a close game. And I picked, actually, Hempfield to win in our football picks, and I noticed basically everyone else went with Dallas Town. So I'm sure Dallas Town will win the game because I honestly finished dead last year.
Funny, so I covered Hempfield in the playoffs last year against Southwestern, and only 4 guys touched the ball for them the whole game, and they beat Southwestern because they had a running back. They just gave it to every single play, and he's gone too. So that's the biggest question is how their quarterback, who has also graduated, ran the ball a lot. So they have that run-heavy style. They just need to plug somebody else. So that's a question mark for them.
You mentioned quarterbacks. Red Lion, another team that's breaking in a new player at QB. A team that – should we be leaving them out of this conversation as well? Are they a team that's going to be up there with the Northeasterns and the Dallas Towns potentially?
Yeah, I mean, I think Red Lion will be up there. They have Nick Argento back on defense. He was our defensive player of the year last year. They have a lot of other guys back too, and they probably finished as the hottest team out of pretty much anybody at the end of last season. They won 4 games in a row, including beating Dallas Town, shutting Dallas Town out actually, and then ended up making the playoffs, didn't win that playoff game, but they seem to be the team that has the most momentum coming in, them in Northeastern probably in that division.
I think it would be a grave error in judgment to underestimate them. And actually, coming into the year, I do like to roll the dice from time to time, and I have them winning the division. I think that Jesse Shea has done a fantastic job with that program. They have a new quarterback, but their quarterback play wasn't anything standout. They're bringing back a very, very good offensive line, headlined by Argento. Their big question in my mind is replacing the playmaker on the outside, Boyd Gillespie. He was a great wide receiver. He's playing college ball now. That is the hole. He was a home run hitter for them last year. You know, every team needs some big play catalysts. I don't care what level of football it is. You need some guys that can take it to the house and can be a big play threat. So that's a question mark for them, but when I see a team bringing back the whole offensive line, when I see a program built the way they are with a first-rate head coach, I have a lot of faith in them, and I think that like I said, I have them winning the whole enchilada. Did I just say that?
I think you did, Teddy. Obviously, those are three of the more highly touted teams in Division One. Coming off last season, two teams that you wouldn't necessarily think would be in the same position, Central York, William Penn, both with new coaches, obviously a little different history that goes along with both programs, but they both have a lot to prove this season as Central York starts over with a new head coach and a really redefining the whole program, and William Penn doing the same thing after a very tough couple years.
I was just at Central York practice today, and I found out they're going to be ready to run a play 6 seconds after the ball is placed every time. This is a totally different look.
Fast break off
with Brad Livingston. You know, that was a more methodical approach. No, they're trying to come out here and kind of outrun some people, and they've been conditioning like crazy. So, forget just the guy on the sidelines. It's going to be a whole new look at Central. And obviously, Russ Stoner is trying to kind of change the culture over there at William Penn because, like Christian said, they've had a couple really, really down years where they – I mean, last year went 0-10.
That might be the understatement of the year.
Yeah, I mean, didn't even come closer than 12 points the whole season.
Yeah. All right. First of all, I want to say about these teams, I think Coach Stoner, I like what he's bringing to that program, and I like his attitude. And at the same time that it's a tall order over there. I mean, he's there. He's speaking optimistically. I think he has the kids' best interest at heart, which I think is of critical importance. And I'm happy about that. The question is, all a coach can possibly ask for is hope. It's very hard when you're a coach and there is no hope. If you have tools that you think you can work with, then, you at least know that you have a fighter's chance every week. If you don't have that, it can get depressing in a hurry. I do think they have some talent at the skill positions. One would think question will always come down to the trenches, the offensive, the defensive line, and the numbers and the depth. So there's them. I have a hard time. Put it this way. If they get one win, it would be a step forward. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Absolutely. Zach? Yeah, I would agree. I think there's a game or two that's winnable on the schedule, though, so I think it's possible.
I think he knows that this is not like a situation where you come in and change everything right away. So as long as they take a little bit of a step forward and create some hope, that'll do a lot.
And I mean, I think that's the big thing for Russ Stoner, who is really trying to not just build a better football program, but really, along with Ron Corsi, the AD over at William Penn as well, they're trying to build a culture of responsibility. They're trying to make these young men better football players, better athletes, and better people, young men and women, in case for all the athletic programs.
One win would be a huge step forward. Two wins would be a quantum leap. And three wins, they're going light years. And if he gets four W's, he's getting a Gatorade shower, as far as I'm concerned.
From Teddy.
From Teddy. He'll show up with the Gatorade bucket, and he'll dump it on. Right now, before we head to the break, we want to do a Defend Your Pick segment. We each obviously all make picks every week. We all picked a game that we thought was a tough call. We're going to defend the picks. Zach, I'll give you the first opportunity to defend your pick, so go ahead.
I picked Red Lion to beat Waynesboro this week. The game is at Red Lion's place. Red Lion 7 wins last year, Waynesboro 6 wins last year, so should be some pretty good football out there. But like I was saying before, I feel like Red Lion is just the hottest team kind of coming into this season, and I think they're going to get the W and get started off on the right foot.
Zach, you're up. Zach. Matt, you're up next.
This is what he was Zach now for a month. Go ahead.
This is a tough one. So it was Central York against West York. I went with Central. It's at Central, correct?
Yes.
And I think we've seen the road teams have won like the last six matchups. So I was like, that streak's got to end eventually. I'll go with the home team. Really, these are two teams that are really trying to get back on track. Central was 3-7 last year. West York 5-5. I can totally understand why people would pick West York. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they win. But I think it'll be a close game. And if it is, Central's got a really good kicker, Carter Luckenball. That could be the difference in a game like this. So I'll roll the dice with them.
Absolutely. It's a tough call. West York, too, the one thing I would say against that pick would just be the fact that they are coming in with so much turnover from last season. We'll obviously get into that in the next segment. But my pick, I had Dallas Town beating Hemphill. Obviously, Dallas Town is a program that's very tough. Every year they play very well. And, I think they're a team that, to start off the year, they have to get off to the right foot, and that's what they're going to do.
I just don't want to leave myself out. It's important.
We wouldn't want you to.
okay, so I finished last year in this. I just want to point that out for good order. But I definitely am known to roll the dice, and typically speaking, I strike out swinging or I hit a three-run bomb. Couple picks I made. I went Susky over Northern at Northern. Northern was a playoff team last year. They have a new head coach. I thought their coach, who I believe what he went to New Ox. Am I correct in saying that?
You are correct.
I will see what the impact there. And yeah, you know, I really liked what Steve Wiles did last year at Susquehannock, and I believe they won last year in week one. I could be wrong in saying that. I went Susky there. I also went James Buchanan over Hanover. Hanover's losing a lot. They had a monumental year last year. They're losing a huge core group of their players. I'm just going to be intrigued to see how they rebound. Zach, don't say anything right now.
James Buchanan scored 9 points all of last season.
What?
They scored like twice.
Stellar pick. I'm glad to see that's going to work out.
Yeah. Also, that's Division III.
We'll revisit that pick.
No question.
We'll revisit that pick. We'll get into Division II in the next segment. You're listening to Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Welcome back to Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Christian Arnold, Zach Miller, Matt Alabone, Teddy Feinberg with you as we break down the upcoming high school football season. This segment, we're talking Division II. A very intriguing division, at least from my standpoint, with so much parity, with so many teams in a very similar situation, with so much turnover. I mean, you look at a lot of these teams. York Suburban last year, the best team in Division II, obviously had two of the best players in the league, arguably, in Colin Mailman and Thomas Merkel. They don't have that this year, and with everyone else kind of going through the same situation, it's wide open, guys.
Yeah, if you like parity, this is definitely the most fun division this year. Like Christian said, I mean, really, I could probably say there's about five teams I could see winning this division. You know, it's very wide open. I think Suburban, obviously, last year was the best team. They lose some big names, but they really actually have a lot of guys back. That senior class last year was not nearly as big as people think it was. This current senior class has almost 20 kids in it. West York, obviously, 5-5 season last year is not up to snuff for what they're used to in West York. It's entirely possible. You could see that program bouncing back. Dover kind of beat up by injuries and suspensions late in the year. That's a team that could get back. Eastern York was a team that had a lot of expectations last year. Another team that was beaten up by injuries. So if these teams can stay healthy and kind of, you know, turn it around a little bit, it's really anyone's division to win.
It's definitely intriguing that usually if one team loses a lot, you can point to another team, okay, that's an up-and-coming team, and you don't totally get that. It's like kind of question marks with every single team you see here.
It'll be interesting. I think the biggest storyline is York Suburban right off the bat because of just the caliber they had in Thomas Merkel and Colin Mailman at the quarterback wide receiver duo. Those were, like I said at the top of the segment, those were the two best in the league at their position arguably. And now the reins get turned over at quarterback to Ben Igo, who has a lot of expectations to live up to. And I got to go out to a Suburban practice a week or two ago, and I got to see him in action. The one thing I was very impressed by was the fact that he was very take charge, very take command. And I think you see that in some of these younger quarterbacks that are coming in. West York, in another case, I know you did a story on their new quarterback there. I think with some of these young kids that are coming in, not young in both their cases, they're both seniors, but these new quarterbacks that are coming in, I think you're seeing a real understanding of the situation they're walking into and the leadership role that they have to take, in this case, Igo's case.
Yeah, and same thing with Johnson at West York, really stepped up as a leader, which is a big part of it. You look at Suburban, though, I mean, we all know what Thomas Merkel did last year. Now, how much of that was the system that he was placed in? I think we'll probably find that out this year, you know, because it's never just one thing.
Damn, Miller.
It's never just one. It's never just, you know, quarterback or receiver or system. It's a combination of everything. But, you know, that system over at Suburban, Matt Marshall was the offensive coordinator last year. He previously held the record for the most passing yards in the county, so clearly he knows what he's doing. If they can keep that going with this new quarterback, there a lot of guys on the line are back. There's no reason to think that this team can't compete again.
They bring back a very skilled offensive line for sure. Gavin Barclay is a great player. They have another guy up front too who's returning.
Ralph Casper.
So
very big kids.
Yeah, Gavin Barclay was like 6'8", like two. I was like staring up at him during meeting.
He's not that big.
He was like Jonathan Ogden in here. But no, they They have a good O-line, and I mean, as you guys alluded to, this division is wide open to the max. It's impossible to get a feel for it going into the
year. I mean, I'm hoping to see some good close games. We got a bunch of those last year in this division. York Suburban beat West York on a last-second kick. You know, that's the first one that comes to mind. I mean, West York and Susquehanna, who we didn't even mention before, that was a great game last year. We had a lot of really good games in this division, and I mean, that's all you can really hope for.
And I think with so many teams going through the similar situations, that you're marking this up for another very competitive division. But at the same time, and you think about this too, if these teams are all going to beat up in each other, how does that impact their district playoff hopes?
I mean, in the way the new classifications are set up, it's tougher to make the playoffs than it was previously. So if they're all going to beat each other up, which is entirely possible, that could mean none of them are going to the playoffs.
And I think for a lot of these programs, Suburban, Susquehanna, who's also bringing a new quarterback, that would be really disappointing. I mean, obviously all those programs want to get to a district playoff game, but with the district classifications being the way they are, it's now much tougher. And for them, it's kind of stinks in one sense that they're so even that they could potentially knock each other out of the playoffs altogether.
Yeah, but in a way, it's also maybe better that, you know, there's no dominant team or two, and you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get blasted a couple times. Also, don't forget about Gettysburg. Gettysburg was in the playoffs 2 years ago, 1-9 last year, but in the playoffs 2 years ago. That's a team that could potentially get back. They expect to make the playoffs.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, their coach is a graybeard in that division. I mean, am I right or am I right?
It's going to be his third year.
Why is Miller giving me this sarcastic head nod? Yeah, good. Thank you.
Gettysburg loses a lot, but they lost a lot of kids from a 1-9 team. That's definitely what Coach Matt Heiser said, is just instilling a new attitude. And you hear that a lot, but definitely you get the sense that their team last year, by the end of the year, their heart was not in it. And you see that by a lot of 21-7, 25-14 games, middle of the season. Last 3 weeks, they gave up like 45 points every week.
We lost a ton of veteran guys, but we won one game, so whatever. It's fine.
To another team, speaking of a team like Gettysburg, Kennerdale, they're also in a similar situation. They obviously have gone through a lot of down seasons, to say the least, but they bring in a new head coach, Chris Grube, who was able to, as co-head coach at the end of last season, was able to get a couple wins out of them to the end of the year. So, I mean, they did end on a somewhat high note.
Didn't they get like 4 wins last year? That was a monumental season. Yeah. They played well. I don't know if they were actually entertaining to watch. I feel like offensively they put up some numbers.
They scored a lot of points. They also gave up a lot more.
They were throwing to Woolridge all game. That kid had a monster year. He's gone though, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, he is.
So Kennerdale also in a very similar situation. They lost a couple players. They have a new head coach, technically a new head coach, although he was there last season. They're in a similar situation. The one thing I will say defensively, again, another team I got to go out and see practice of, was something that they really focused on defense and being a much more aggressive team. And it showed in their practice. So maybe it gets them a couple more wins. Maybe they continue the way they ended the last season. They get a couple wins together, which would be a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and with how even this division is, it's possible they can win a bunch of games.
Right.
Maybe 5-6 games if they happen to be just a little bit better than everybody else.
Right. And again, so many teams going through new changes. Anton Johnson, I think, is probably the most intriguing change in Division II. Zach, he went from being so low on the depth chart you couldn't see him to now being the number one quarterback heading into the season. Talk about an incredible turnaround.
Yeah, he's kind of got an interesting story. He's a very good athlete, and so he's bounced around in his career playing receiver and playing running back and kind of playing everywhere on the field except for quarterback. And then I was talking to his coach from third and fourth grade, who's now an assistant at West York, and he said back in eighth grade they kind of told him, you know, hey, why don't you think about playing quarterback? And nothing really happened with that, and then his sophomore year, they started to turn him into a quarterback. He was a little bit of a project, but I don't think anybody really thought he was ever going to be the starting quarterback for West York. I'm not even sure he thought he was going to be the starting quarterback for West York, but he worked really, really hard this offseason. The other guys on the depth chart is a freshman and a sophomore, you know, guys that need to grow a little bit, both physically and mentally. And so he had a chance to work his way up. He took every opportunity, was always out at Sunday practices, working on his throwing motion, working on reading coverages, and he steadily worked his way up, really earned the respect of his teammates as a leader, and now he's going to be the starting quarterback tomorrow against Central York in probably the biggest game of the week.
Right. So it'll talk about getting thrown into the lion's den right on your first try.
I think you guys brought up a really good point in the first segment. I think that is the Central York-West York game is completely – it's a complete toss-up, and I don't know what to anticipate. Central with the new coach coming off, frankly, a very underwhelming season last year. And West York is a team that they're in transition. I mean, Coach Jones, Jeremy Jones entering his second year, had absolutely monster shoes to fill, replacing Ron Miller last season. I think offensively they can do some things. That's his background. But I really don't know what to expect for them this season. So that game is that game is a complete toss-up in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and it's tough. At this point in the season, it's always tough to judge teams. We haven't seen them play a game. And I got to say, I went out to West York practice yesterday and Central today. I left both practices thinking, oh, this team's going to win. Because
totally.
Everybody is optimistic at this point in the season. You know, everybody thinks they worked the hardest over the summer. Everybody thinks they made the adjustments they need to make. Everybody thinks they, you know, they figured out and have the experience to get it done. And so we'll find out on Friday which team is actually going to get it done. And that game is at Central.
And in all walks of football, it doesn't matter what level, the first week is always the craziest week because, let's just call it, there really aren't preseason games. Scrimmages are not pre – you know what I mean? Those are –
They're not, no.
They're not. It's not the same thing. So it's all lives. And then not just that, the first week is crazy, but then it also makes week two crazy because two teams, particularly very well-coached teams, go in and make their big adjustments. So you see big, big changes in, you know, week to week early in the season. So it's last year, Central went there and won. And I remember in the office that night, we're like, what a great win for Central, going on the road, beating a tough West York team. And by midseason, we looked at each other like, these two teams really, neither one's very impressive at this point. So you just don't know what you're going to get.
Right. I mean, you know, look at what Red Land did the other day. That's obviously outside of the York Adams League, but beating Bishop McDevitt, right now we think, wow, Redland, that's an amazing win.
Right.
But in a few weeks, we might look at it and say it was a fluke, or we might say, oh, you know, Bishop McDevitt really wasn't that good. Like, we really just don't know at this point in the season.
No.
Another team that we haven't talked about yet, Eastern New York, they have another new head coach. They're kind of right in the middle. We're not sure what to make of them quite yet, and I think they're another intriguing storyline. I mean, they have a couple good players coming back, Wyatt Smith obviously being the most notable player. And it's tough to say where they're going to fit because kind of like Dover last season, there was a lot of expectation and injuries killed them. Dover actually started out pretty well and then had some off the field and injuries kind of hinder them. But, I mean, Eastern New York and Dover, really, two teams that are looking for redemption to make up for sort of surprising bad seasons last year.
Yeah, I think that's a reminder for every team. Health is such a big part of it, and
yeah,
especially at the smaller schools. You know, Dover is a pretty good-sized school. Eastern's a little on the small side. When you start to have injuries, especially injuries to key players, that can decimate a team at a small school because, you know, you don't have that same depth that maybe
right,
like a Dallas Town does or a Red Lion does. So really, staying healthy is as key as anything.
First, the players, the rest of the team's confidence when they
right,
see when I mean, I played football when my junior year, we had a bunch of guys get hurt, and it just kills the attitude of the
right,
team when you see some of your best players go down.
And again, Dover and Eastern New York both kind of had similar situations. Eastern obviously didn't have the off the field issues, which kind of derailed a promising season. I mean, Dover was right there in the thick of things with Suburban going into the middle of last year before I believe it was week 6 or week 7.
Yeah, I think Dover was 4-2 after week
yeah,
6. It's easy to forget too. Eastern York started 2-0 and we
right,
were talking about them as a team that could win a division, and then, you know, they had some injury issues, lost to Hanover in week 3, and then just did not play well at all in division play.
It was funny because I was going through photos for the football preview, and there were photos of the Eastern New York Hanover game, and I was like, that was a monumental game week 3. Like, that was a big time game because
I don't think anybody realized it at the time, but yeah.
No, well, at the time we were like, they're both 2-0.
Yeah, we were
this
thinking,
is intriguing.
We were thinking, you know, Eastern York's 2-0. We think they're pretty good. They're a Division II contender. And Hanover, what is this 2-0?
Right.
What do we make of that?
Right. That's how it went. That's
and the two teams kind of went the opposite direction of what we thought. In that
Eastern York suffered. They were a run-first team. And I mean, their running back, I think their running back week one last year against Columbia ran for a 150, maybe close to 200, couple scores they rolled, but he got hurt. Then the next week, another guy got hurt before he knew it, playing to your point. Their backs were down. Their running backs were down. One thing that's interesting about them is, from kind of what I interpreted at Media Day, they're going from a run-heavy offense to more of a pass look, or at least a more spread-out look. And that's a big adjustment for a football team when you go from a very run-heavy attack than to a pass-first team. You know, so they'll be an interesting team to watch, but the mantra is clearly this division is wide open and it's anyone's game.
Right, and I think to that point, too, Eastern had a very Teddy kind of mentioned they had a very heavy run first offense last season, and Jeff Messick, the new head coach over at Eastern, has decided, has made the call to make it more spread out. He wants to have those options where if they're in a position where this team, where the defense is about to read another run, you can change things up and throw and go in the air, and you have that flexibility, and it makes them a tougher opponent to play. And obviously, if everyone knows Eastern York as a run-first team, having that ability to throw the ball a couple times definitely makes you a lot more challenging and a lot tougher to play. And again, as Teddy said, in a division that's so wide open, that's going to be key this season.
Of course, it all depends on the players, how they adjust to this new adjustment. And it might fit their skill strengths better. We don't know.
We'll see. We'll certainly see. But again, time to defend the picks. Zach, you get to go first once again. Defend your pick for Division Two.
So I picked York Suburban to beat York Catholic, and I noticed on our pick sheet that was kind of an unpopular pick. Most people went with York Catholic. So, I mean, for me...
I went Suburban.
I'm with Teddy. I'm in trouble.
You got a loss under your belt.
So I look at Suburban, and I think because they lost the big names in Merkel and Mailman, people have the impression that they lost a lot more than they really did. And I think they're still going to be very tough in the trenches. Teague Hoffman's back. He plays a little bit running back receiver. He's a really, really good player. They have a lot of talent on that team. I think not only do I think they're going to beat York Catholic and win this game, I think they're going to be a serious, serious contender to win the division.
Matt, you're up next.
Teddy spoke about it earlier, but mine was going to be Susky over Northern, which could be a really good game. Yeah. But I saw Susky scrimmage last week. We're 5-5 last year. I think they're definitely a run-heavy team. Coach Wiles said that's what he believes in. Jack Allred, their fullback. This kid is a big kid. He plays like defensive tackle along with fullback too, but like tall, thick, not just like chubby. And he can run. A couple plays that he got out in space against Hanover, he looked really good. So Northern, it was funny. I was reading the preview for them, and they have their quarterback back. They have some guys back, but their coach did say it's a rebuilding year. So we'll see what to make of that, but I'm going to go with Susky this week.
I would agree with you on Susky. Teddy, I'll let you have the floor now.
Well, first of all, I have heard the term chubby in some time. Thank you, man.
I didn't think that was that weird of a term to say.
It's a little different. I was just joking. Well, since I went D2 and D3 on the last segment, I'm just going to say one D1 pick. I picked Hemphill over Dallastown, but again, I'm expecting that to be a close football game. And then back to D2, I picked another kind of off-the-grid game here. I know this will be a shock to a lot of people, but I went Eastern York winning at Lampeter-Strasburg.
Do you want to defend it, or are you just going to leave it out?
I mean, I'll defend it for Teddy because that was also my pick, so it'll be a joint defense here. I am someone who likes what Jeff Messick is doing with the Eastern York football program. Again, I like the idea of having that flexibility to go on the ground, to throw it in the air. I think having Wyatt Smith on both sides of the ball, I mean, they're going to be a tough team defensively. So I have a confidence that week one, Eastern York will be able to pull out a win.
And I will defend it. Thank you. I was here. I was coming off a very, very long day, looking forward to a day off on Tuesday, had to submit my picks. I went in and I went with my gut. And if anyone has an issue with that, you can talk to me after the program. Thank you.
Talk to his gut.
I was going to wait till Friday night.
We will see what happens. I'm with Teddy on this one. We're in this boat together.
Thank you, Christian. Appreciate it.
We're in this boat together as far as Eastern. So that'll wrap up this segment of the show. When we come back, Division 3, we'll give our thoughts on what is going to happen there. York Catholic, district champ, reached the district title game last year. Fairfield, of all teams, do they have the best chance to make the district playoffs? We'll answer that question when we come back. You're listening to Game Day with Game Time PA on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Welcome back to Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK. Chris Arnold, Zach Miller, Matt Alabone, Teddy Feinberg here, and we are about to jump into Division 3. Some interesting information and questions to be answered for that. But one quick housekeeping mention before we get going here. Make sure you subscribe to the show. We're now on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just type in, search Game Day with Game Time PA Radio. We'll come up. Make sure you subscribe, you rate it, you comment. All good comments, of course. Make sure you do all of that. Make sure you're following us all season long.
We're moving up in the world.
I don't even know what Stitcher
is. I don't know what Stitcher is.
Well, there you go. I've now stumped my colleagues. But Division III now, your Catholic, obviously one of the better teams in Division III. But, Zach, you know, I asked the question at the end of the last segment, Fairfield, the team with the best district playoff playoff hopes?
I don't know about district playoff, but district championship game hopes, absolutely. And I'll explain why.
Teddy's
looking at me like I have 10 heads. Here's the reason why. It is simple.
Go ahead. I'd love to
hear
it.
We're waiting.
In this new system, in class single A and class double A, only two teams make the playoffs. So the top two. In class single A, which Fairfield is the only York Adams team in class single A, there's only five teams. So finishing the top two out of five, it's better odds, you know, than finishing the top eight out of 29 in 5A, for example. I mean, you know, Northeastern, we all look at as probably the best team. Well, you know, it's tough to make the playoffs in that classification, and it's certainly tough to make the district championship game. All Fairfield probably has to do, quite frankly, win four or five games. Because when you look at the other schools in single A, these are small schools that are not going to win a ton of games. So, yeah, there's a good chance that Fairfield will be playing for district championship.
Well, pardon my ignorance here. Maybe you probably have to spell this out for me. What about York Catholic?
They're double A now.
York Catholic's in double A. And I think DeLone Catholic and Hanover... Is Hanover in double A?
Yeah.
So those three teams, there's only like seven or eight teams in double A, if I remember correctly, but there's only five in single A. So, you know, you got to finish top two out of five. And these are all the smallest schools in the district.
I understand the basic premise now. Thanks for spelling it out. It actually does make sense.
And Fairfield actually could – health is like a big key for them because they have like 30 kids on the team. I might be wrong on that number, but they don't have a lot.
They have 33 kids. So, yeah, and they pretty much all play two ways. So if anybody gets hurt – that's a huge blow.
But they have something that no other team has. They have Darwin Seiler.
And they have.
I'm a big fan of the head coach from Fairfield.
They have a quarterback coming back who set a school record in passing yards last year as a sophomore in Darian Mort.
Right, because of Darwin Seiler.
Yes, and he's also a good athlete with the luxury of having a very good coach.
Great name, too, Darian Mort. Yep.
So you have a good quarterback there. That obviously does a lot for you. So if they can get some line play around him, then... Who knows? They only need to win four or five games. They have a game this week in St. Joseph's Catholic Academy, who lost 54-0 last week. So
it's fine. You guys make sense. It makes sense. I'm with you now. At first, I thought you were crazy, but it's a little more.
Keep going. It's be like a Fairfield
segment. It's a little more defensible. Yeah, yeah. Go Darwin Seiler.
Another team that will have a lot of eyes on it. Hanover had a very big season last year. Will they be able to repeat that success this season?
It's going to be tough. I mean, they only have five players coming back that were starters last year. Rashawn Williams is probably the most notable. He had a lot of big plays for them as a receiver, but he was really a guy as big as the plays he had and the yards he racked up. He was honestly about a one or two catch a game guy. So they're going to be trying to get him the ball a lot more.
I'm taking him in fantasy. He's a great fantasy pick.
He gets the ball a lot, that's for sure.
The interesting thing with Hanover, and I know we were talking about, they lost so much. And then when you kind of look what they do have back, they've got a good receiver. Hunter March is their tight end and linebacker, is a really good player. Now, they lost Jordan Lockman at running back, but Justin Barnes got a lot of carries last year, and he's back. So that's a good player. Logan Brown, who I saw make some plays in the scrimmage last week. The interesting thing for them will be, how do they kind of find an identity? Because they threw the ball so much last year. Kyle Kraut, one of the best quarterbacks, he's gone. Cam Mum is a junior, untested. And when I talked to their coach last week, Coach Bill Reichert, he said that they're kind of feeling out their identity still because they don't really know. They might have to be more of a run-heavy team this year because they don't have the quarterback they used to.
Yeah, the quarterback question is just a key one for them, obviously. You guys know better than anyone else. Kraut was a great leader and a great player. So, you know, those are just big shoes to fill. And I know that actually Rashawn Williams, when he was at Media Day, you know, he said just that. I mean, it's not an issue of the new guy coming in. He can play. But Kraut just got it. You know, he was a senior, started for a bunch of years. So they had a great year last year, and honestly, it would be great to see them perform well again.
Of course, Big Liberal is another team in a very similar situation. They went 8-4 last year. They were the co-division champs with Hanover, and they lose a lot too. And it's kind of interesting. They lose really all of their skill guys. You know, Ben Hurd, their quarterback's gone. Colton Sentz at running back. Nate Newberry at receiver. But they have a lot of linemen back, pretty much their whole offensive and defensive line. So they can plug in skill players. They could be in pretty good shape, and obviously we don't know who those kids are, but it might have been a case where they were good athletes. They just had seniors in front of them, so another intriguing team to watch this year.
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, York Catholic, another team that's in that conversation. They're always in the district district playoff hunt. Obviously, now the change of classification, mm-hmm. where does that impact them? That'll be an interesting question to see how that shakes out.
It will be very interesting, but like as we said, there's like seven or eight teams in 2A, two teams make the title game, and they've got talent. They've got Jakar Kennard might be the best running back in the league, and him coming back. Dan Yoakumick, a quarterback coming back.
Right.
So guys back at like two of the most important positions. So they're another team that's set up for success.
I mean, you guys see a lot of these teams. Is there a team that you'd be surprised by this season? Is it Hanover again that comes out and makes a big statement?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I think Bermudian Springs could be the best team in this whole division. I mean, Bermudian's a they've been the class of that division for a long time. Last year was a down year when they went 5-5, and I think they're going to be back. Chase Dull, the quarterback, is back and healthy. They only lost about six players from last year's team, so I expect big things from Bermudian and Coach Defoe, who's now the longest tenured coach in the league, going into his 18th season with Brad Livingston's departure. So, you know, this shouldn't surprise people, but maybe they have kind of forgotten about Bermudian Springs because of last year. But I think that's a team, to me, that's the team to beat in this division.
Definitely, they could be very good. They finished last season 5-1. Another team to keep an eye on, DeLone Catholic. 4-6 last year, only lost six seniors. Some really important players back. Brian Schirmeyer back at quarterback. Very good offensive line back. They could be very good.
Yeah, I like York Catholic a lot in this division. Thanks.
We'll York Catholic will definitely be in the – I'd say them, DeLone, and Berm are going to have a really good competition.
All right, let's okay. – There you have it. Let's defend our picks now. Division 3. Zach, you got to go first the last two rounds. No. Matt, I'm going to let you go first this time. Matt, defend your pick.
I picked Biglerville over Anvil Cluna. I know a bunch of us picked that. Very interesting game because we haven't seen these new Biglerville players. Anvil Cluna lost 55-27 to Trinity last week. And so they got burned in the passing game. They also turned it over five times. So Biglerville, it's a different attack. I don't know if they can exploit them in the aerial attack the way Trinity did. They're going to run the ball a lot more. But I'm still going to go with Biglerville to, you know, kind of pound them, hopefully stop the run for Anvil Cluna and get a win.
All right, Zach, you're up.
Well, let me just say, too, Anvil Cluna is in a very, very similar position to Biglerville from last year. Both teams made the district playoffs, and both teams lost almost their entire roster from that team. So you're going to see – you're going to really get a sense of which team reloaded better. And this was a great game last year. They went into double overtime, and Anvil Cluna won. My game that I'm going to defend, I picked DeLone Catholic to beat Trinity. This is a good little week one rivalry that's been going on for a few years. Trinity won last year, but like Matt said before, DeLone has a lot of players back, a lot of key players back. You look at Schirmeyer at quarterback. We were talking earlier about how so few teams have a quarterback back. They have a lot of guys back on the line, so I think they go up to Trinity and give them a good game.
I took Trinity.
Teddy took Trinity, Anvil Cluna, James Buchanan. He picked against every Division III team.
Okay, look, that's funny. I definitely took Suburban over Catholic too. Miller mentioned me taking Anvil Cluna over Biglerville. I want to make it clear. I think Coach Ramos done a great job at Biglerville. We just mentioned all the pieces they lost. I think going on the road week one will be a tall order. If you were listening to the show in the entirety, which really you should have been doing from the start, you will know that I took James Buchanan over Hanover. And easily the most shocking thing I heard during the whole program was that James Buchanan scored 9 points all of last season. That is amazing. And I want to know if it was 3 field goals, a touchdown missed extra point.
They had one touchdown, I know.
And a safety.
I don't know, but
well,
they
scored 6 in one game and 3 in the other, so I'm not sure a touchdown, the missed extra point, or 2 field goals.
Okay, because I was going to say, if they scored a touch and a safety, that means their offense only scored 7, but whatever. Very fascinating statistic. That's a by the numbers right there.
Certainly is. My pick real quick, Bermudian Springs, just a gut sense. I mean, I think everyone had Bermudian Springs as well, so that's my pick. Great first show, guys. Make sure you're following all of us on Twitter. You can follow Teddy Feinberg at Teddy Feinberg. You can follow Zach Miller at By Zach Miller. Matt Alabone is the most creative name out of the bunch at Bad2 the Alabone. And I'm at C_Arnold01.
That 2 is the digit.
Good call, Teddy.
Good one.
make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You can find Game Day with Game Time PA on Stitcher. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Google Play. Make sure you rate, subscribe, and comment. Only good comments, of course, because we're great. Make sure you do all of that, and you're following along all season long. Guys, great show. Thanks so much for joining us, as always. We'll be back next week with another edition of Game Day with Game Time PA here on Sports Radio 1350 WOYK.